Hey everyone. So as always, I'll keep these intros nice and short. Today I'm bringing you Sean Fincham. Sean is a professional cross-country mountain biker from Squamish, BC. Squamish is a small town. It's where I call home back in Canada. It's located between Vancouver and Whistler, ultimate mountain town. It's the outdoor recreation capital of Canada and is loaded with Olympians, world champions, and just the most insane athletes you can imagine. Sean is one of the local hitters here. He races professionally for the Norco Factory team. He has represented Canada on the world stage and is one of Canada's top cross-country mountain bike racers. Today, we just sat down at my place back in Squamish one evening and just had a conversation. So without anything more, I'll just give you Sean. Okay, I hope you enjoy. Okay, so we're here in Squamish with Sean Fincham, and cross-country mountain biker, born and raised here. And we're just going to talk about some of the stories. And, you know, a lot of you probably already know who Sean is. Some of you don't. So we'll give that a go and we'll let Sean explain who he is.
Sweet. Yeah. Thanks for inviting me to be part of your podcast, Jack. So yeah, as you said, I'm a mountain biker, born and raised in Squamish. I race for the Norco Factory team. Yeah, I've been mountain biking for quite a while now. And yeah, I'm still an under 23 and racing the World Cups.
So you're one of those spoiled kids that grew up in Squamish and just doesn't realize how good it is here. Whereas, like, I grew up in Toronto and I come here and I'm just like, this is a dream world and I could never leave and I just think it's the most amazing thing ever. Versus you guys grew up here and you complain about the rain and whatnot because it's like, oh, well, you know, the mountains will always be there.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely just don't think about it growing up here. You just take advantage of it. But once I spent my fair time in Ontario and realized how lucky we are, now it makes me a lot more grateful to be living here, that's for sure.
And then you're also a product of the fact that every kid that grows up here is just a hitter. Like, I used to tell people, and I would have the hardest time getting through to them, it's like, there are 12-year-old kids here that can do a backflip on a mountain bike in the Whistler Bike Park, and I'd have a hard time getting that across to them. But then I just saw a video a couple days ago on Pink Bike of an 8-year-old kid doing a tail whip 360.
Yeah, I mean, it's standard stuff now, I guess. Like, I can't believe it. Some of these kids are just sending. It's unbelievable, especially on the mountain bike and on the skis. And I mean, I guess it's just what they grow up with, and that's what they think is normal. It's pretty cool to see, that's for sure.
Yeah. So what's the big dream? What's the big career goal, Sean? Is it Olympic gold medal, world champion? Like, what's the huge career goal? Well, how big are you shooting for?
Oh, geez. I mean, Olympic gold, that's what everyone, I think, is shooting for in the mountain bike world. Like, world champion, obviously, is a huge one. But, yeah, because mountain biking is an Olympic sport, that's the biggest goal for sure.
So world champion, get the rainbow stripes, or World Cup overall?
Rainbow stripes, man. Gotta roll that jersey.
Okay, cool. What's the best place to train anywhere in the world? You can, but money's no object. Where's the best place you're going to train?
I mean, the best mountain biking is here for sure. But I mean, the winters are pretty harsh. So I don't know. I spend a lot of time in California, but I mean,
yeah. You got to be more specific. Where in California?
kind of Malibu and Santa Cruz. But I honestly, best mountain biking would be here for sure.
Okay, sweet. That's good to hear. How about a cool trip, like the fun factor? Where it'd be like, if it doesn't have to be for training, it could be for biking. It could not be for biking. It could be doing something else. Where do you want to go? Where's a cool trip?
Well, there's this this stage race in Nepal, and it's the world's highest mountain bike stage race. And I've had my eye on that. I had a friend actually who just did it, and I think that's on my list of like cool things to do.
Has Jeff Kabush done it yet, or is that something he's gonna do?
Oh, he just did the enduro. My friend Reese did the XC, and he's the enduro racer. And yeah, you get up to like 5,600 meters on your mountain bike, and yeah, it looks like a tough time, but it looks really freaking cool.
That looks awesome. Yeah, Nepal is definitely a place on my list to go. I'd say that's pretty cool. So who's your hero growing up? Like idol, anyone like that growing up? Could be biking, could be not biking, whatever it is.
I mean, I grew up and just watching all like the bike movies that had like Brandon Semenuk and Cam McCall and all those guys. I thought they were pretty cool, and I wanted to do what they were doing. But now I race cross country, so yeah, I guess, I don't know. I don't know who my role model would be now, but when I was a kid, them for sure.
Okay, what was your favorite bike movie growing up?
Seasons.
Seasons, okay, yeah, that was a good one.
That was my favorite for sure.
Yeah, do you still have all the DVDs?
Oh yeah, I got them all.
New World Disorder?
Yeah, I was a big fan of those, but I don't know, there's something about Seasons that I really liked.
Okay, yeah, it was great cinematography in that one. My favorite, the movie, so if someone were to ask me like what's my favorite movie and whatnot, it would be like, you know, Rocky or Top Gun, Goodfellas, something like that. But the movie I've watched the most out of anyone would have to be Follow Me.
Yeah.
One. Like the Whistler Bike Park one, that section with Brandon Semenuk and Stevie Smith and all the guys in the bike park, I'd probably watch that over 100 times.
Yeah, that's a good one for sure.
So any other passions or ideas of things you want to do after cycling or things you do when you're not biking?
Just other activities around here, like skiing and hiking. I really enjoy doing stuff like that. Just something active. I mean, just being in the mountains for me is huge.
And downhill skiing, cross-country skiing,
downhill,
back touring.
Downhill skiing and ski touring.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet. That's pretty good. Is that something you want to be doing more after cycling as well?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you can kind of do a little bit now, but I mean, most of your time is on the bike, but for sure, once I slow down with biking, I'll plan on doing a lot more skiing.
So we often talk about like the idea of retirement. As I heard a really good quote one time by Tim Ferriss, where he basically just laid out the fact that the idea of retirement means that you don't enjoy what you're doing right now and that you're looking forward to getting done with it so that, you know, you can retire and have the golden years. So what's a dream day for you right now? You can have all the money in the world. Doesn't, maybe money's a factor, maybe money isn't. You can be anywhere in the world. You can do anything you want. What's a dream day?
Oh, a dream day. Dream day would be just riding or skiing with a bunch of my friends, and we're all just sending and just having a good time. I mean, those are the best days for me.
Sounds like you're pretty much already doing it.
Yeah, I'm for sure. Like, definitely already doing it.
Sans
intervals, of course. Yeah, there's no racing, just having fun. Okay. Maybe driving home in some nicer cars, but yeah, you know.
You a car guy?
Not really, but I don't know. Definitely, it would be nice to drive around in something a little bit nicer one day. We'll see.
What's a dream car? Or if you're not a car guy, it could be a toy. Like, what's the dream? What's a dream car?
Dream car, I don't know, but having all the toys would be fun. Having a sled, a moto, and a Sea-Doo would be pretty sick around here, that's for sure.
So a truck.
And basically a truck just to pull it all around.
Okay, classic Squamish. It's, you know, the joke is the fact that everyone in Squamish has garages, but no one has the Toyota, the Tacomas, and the Subarus are parked out front because all the toys are in the garage.
Yeah.
Pretty fitting. All right, so you got to name five, and you can pick from favorite quotes, movies, or songs. Name five.
Name five.
So you can pick five favorite songs, quotes, movies, combination of the three. Give us five. Let's see what Sean Fincham is.
Five favorite songs. Oh,
you
man.
Can play it cool and say some new hipster song, or you could say California Girls.
I mean, it's tough for me to pick a favorite song. I don't really know if I have any favorite songs. I kind of just bounce around all over the place.
Okay.
Anything really, except like hard metal or country music. Anything else?
No, you're not a country music. Eh? No, no. Not even new country?
No.
No. No, okay. Not at all. No. Okay. No Kenny Chesney or anything. All right.
Everything else though, like rap music, kind of rock, anything like that.
Okay. Movies, anything like that? Anything stand out? Something you just, you love, you go back to all the time?
I was a big Star Wars fan as a kid. Okay. So that's one. I mean,
how old are you, Sean?
21.
Okay, you still a big Star Wars fan?
Not so much anymore, but I don't know. The new one came out. I haven't seen it yet, but I plan on going and watching it.
Okay.
I guess I don't watch too many movies. I don't know. Bike movies is kind of all I watch, I guess.
Okay. Bike movies. All right, cool. All right, open-ended question. E-bikes. What do you think?
I think they're sick, man. Like, yeah, it just opens up the door to so many people to try mountain biking. Yeah, I don't know. Why not?
I'm glad to hear it, man. I think out of any toy you could have, like, it, you know, dirt bikes, mountain bikes, kiteboarding, surfing, snowmobiles, anything, I think e-bike is the most smiles you can get. It's just the best combination of mountain biking and just making you feel like a hero and dirt biking.
Yeah, I saw you out on Instagram blasting some of the trails on an e-bike. It was good to see.
Oh, yeah. This is so funny. Like, if someone asked me, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Like, what are you planning on doing after road cycling? It's like mountain biking. Mountain biking is so much better.
Oh, man, you just got to do it now.
I try to get it in as much as I can. But the thing is with an e-bike, when I first, when they first started coming around, before I tried one and people asked me what I thought about it, I'd kind of think like, you know, that's kind of lame. Like, you're supposed to earn your turns. Like, you know, the point of biking is to kind of earn it. But then my opinion was like, well, you know, if it just gets more people on bikes, then, you know, that's great. If it gets guys and girls on bikes that normally wouldn't, then that's awesome. That's cool. But then I tried one, and then it's just, you just go faster and you just feel like a hero, and you can still work just as hard as you want, but you're just flying over stuff. You can just go so fast.
Yeah, for sure. I think, yeah, you kind of said exactly how I feel. Like, I mean, if you can pedal up, I think you should. But it just allows so many more people to ride bikes. Like, I mean, I've got some friends from high school, and there's no way I'd ever be able to ride with them ever. But they've all got e-bikes, and, you know, now I'm the one getting dropped when they're on e-bikes. So I think that's pretty cool. And yeah, exciting times.
Totally. And like, do you know Dave and Sandra from Corsa? Did you ever know them growing up?
Yeah, I did, for sure.
So like, they're in California right now. And, you know, Dave's super fit, super strong, loves riding. Sandra is like very casual riding. But now the thing is, Sandra's got an e-bike and they can go riding together, and Dave can go hammer all he wants, and Sandra's the one half wheeling him. Just dropping in, like, and just like head in the wind, smile on his face. Oh, Dave, am I going too hard for you? Like, it's just super fun. It's like, that's awesome.
That's it. Exactly. I mean, and if you're, you know, you're injured or you're getting old and, you know, you can't quite pedal up, now on the e-bike you can, and you can just ride so much more and like cover all the terrain.
Totally. And then like, now you see like Specialized has the like high performance drop bar road bike, whatever, the Creo, I think it's called, that road, like, so they have an e-bike road bike. And then when that first came out, I was thinking like, okay, now this is silly. Like, if you're road biking is like, you're an exerciser. Like, if you're a professional road cyclist, you're a high speed spandex model, or you're a professional exerciser.
Yeah.
E-bike, no point in that. but now what I'm realizing is the fact, like, let's say you have like a really hard 5-hour ride to do, and your normal training day would be go 5 hours. You try to, you know, I don't know, 280, 300 watts you want to do for that, and 180K, like really hard ride. Now, if you got an e-bike and you go try to do that, you can still do that ride. Like, you can still put out all those same numbers, but with the motor on, you're just going so much faster. It's like you could do like 300K in a day. Like, just opens up so much more terrain.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I haven't spent that much time on an e-bike, but I mean, you're moving, that's for sure.
The thing is, everyone jumps on them and it's just like instant smile on your face. You're just like, whoa, this is so cool.
Yeah.
All right. So as athletes, we're pretty routine. You're pretty efficient at everything. Like, you know, when you tend to be the best drivers because you're just so efficient rolling up to stop signs and whatnot. But then we're also very much so routine for training every day. And so typically every athlete has like their go-to breakfast or something like that. What's your staple meal? I know you make the same oatmeal and eggs or whatever it is every morning. What is it?
For sure do. I do oatmeal almost every single day. I do some oats with some peanut butter, some berries, a bit of maple syrup, some cinnamon. Yeah, I crush that like 4 or 5 days a week.
For the last 5 years?
Oh, Yeah, easy. I mean, I throw in some pancake days every now and then, but, you know, oatmeal most of the day.
What kind of oatmeal?
Large flake oats.
Quaker?
Yeah, I'm on
that. You're so basic. You got to get on a Bob's Red Mill.
I'm on that Quaker program.
All right.
Bob's Red Mill.
So the other thing about being an athlete is we got to be pretty frugal with our money. We're not making the NBA salaries. But if, let's say, you found $10,000 in a suitcase, what's a luxury item that you really want but you just couldn't justify buying when you're also having to think about training, camps, and any other expenses that, you know, work towards your goals and stuff like that? What's a luxury item where 10 grand fell out of the sky, you could go buy it?
A Moto or a Sea-Doo.
A Moto or a Sea-Doo. Okay, cool. You know, personally for me, it's a Rocket espresso machine, but the Moto or a Sea-Doo, that's probably a cooler answer. All right, riding in the cold or on the trainer?
How cold?
Well, if it's raining out, are you getting on the bike? If it's like raining and, I don't know, 5-6 degrees out, are you getting out on the bike or are you going to get on the trainer? What's more painful?
Most days I get outside.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I mean, I ride the trainer probably less than 10 times a year.
Good answer.
That's living here. So, yeah, most days I try and get out. I don't like the trainer. I get bored after a few minutes, but some days you got to do it.
What's the best tip you have for riding in the cold? You've tried everything. You know, plastic bags in your shoes, hand warmers, whatever. What's the best thing that works that you figured out?
Oh man, with mountain biking, there's not much. I mean, the stuff's way better than it used to be, but I mean, if you're doing 4 or 5 hour mountain bike rides, I mean, you're getting soaked. But I think the big thing is just having a good jacket and then clothing that can just get wet. And, you know, you stay warm. Winter shoes, winter mountain bike shoes, that was huge. That's a big one. And, yeah, just having a real solid jacket.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it is different, like, mountain biking versus road biking. Like, I always found whenever I get on the mountain bike when it's, like, a cold and miserable day, it's a little bit more tolerable because, like, you're in the woods, you're going slower. You're working hard. It's a little easier to kind of stay warm that way, but you are getting soaked and muddy and, like, yeah, Gore-Tex, now pants that you can get for mountain biking as well as... And a jacket is, you can actually stay, it's pretty manageable.
Yeah, I mean, it's doable for sure. But I mean, if you spend lots of hours out there, you're going to get soaked eventually, especially here.
Yeah, for sure. And so we got to travel a lot as cyclists. So do you have any unique items that you travel with? Like just something that you always bring in your suitcase? You know, for a lot of guys, it's maybe like an AeroPress, something like that. I never leave, I will not sleep in a different place without bringing like my Leatherman with me. Do you have anything like that?
Yeah, AeroPress for sure. I bring that around. I travel with a torque wrench.
Oh, you're a real dork.
Just because I love torquing my stuff. What else do I travel around with? Like Swiss Army knife, medic.
Swiss
bag.
Army knife? You don't have a Leatherman?
Don't have a Leatherman.
Oh.
I try not to have to fix too many things on the road.
Yeah, the hotel room repairs.
And then just food, like some small snack food just for traveling.
Okay, what kind of snack food?
Trail mix, bars, like sometimes some sardines, stuff like that if I get hungry.
Okay, cool. You know, it's funny. I had like my survival kit that I'd bring into my suitcase that I always travel with, and it'd be like a Leatherman with the bit kit for it, and you can fix like pretty much anything on a bike or even cutting up bandages with that if you need to. Some Gorilla Tape, super glue, like you're pretty much covered in like it's like the size of your fist of things you can carry. But now after doing a year in Europe and being like having to worry about what you're going to be served at some little French hotel at 11 o'clock at night, and it's just like overcooked pasta and undercooked chicken that was cooked yesterday. You know, I've never traveled with so many cans of sardines and Uncle Ben's in my suitcase. It's just like emergency camping food.
Yeah. Oh, food can be tough. That's for sure. We stayed at this hotel in the Czech Republic, and they'd cook for us. But I didn't end up eating there very much. The food was tough. Probably some of the worst food I ever had. But yeah.
Do you have any sort of grim overseas travel stories?
I mean, nothing too bad. You know, a couple, like, just flight travel, like delays and layovers where I'd spend the night, but nothing too bad so far. I mean, bags not showing up, but
okay, so nothing too crazy yet.
Yeah, nothing that bad.
Okay. So as cyclists, we're always watching each other and trying to like see what the other guys are doing. We're so competitive and, you know, pretty much like insecure about like, are you always doing enough, or are you training harder, what's someone else doing? And so like an example, like you're at the the common example is you're at a training camp or something like that, and you're with a bunch of teammates or something, and, you know, end of the day, everyone's training, and there's like the couple guys that are on the floor stretching or doing their core work and stuff when everyone else is just kind of lounging around eating and watching Netflix, and you're like, oh yeah, okay, those guys are pretty serious, they're doing that. But then you hear like the odd stories of someone that just goes crazy with it, like just does something unthinkable in training, and it just makes you think like, wow, I gotta like step up my game to try to match that. And so I think probably the most common example, at least in road cycling, that people would think of is Tyler Hamilton wrote about in his book how in order to get skinny, in order to help drop weight, he would just drink gallons of bubbly water to make his stomach feel full. Like just these ridiculous things, clearly not healthy, but just some of the ridiculous stuff he was doing there. Or Thomas Dekker. Do you know who Thomas Dekker is?
I don't think I do, no.
He was like a really big, like superstar Dutch cyclist. And he had he talked about doing 280 kilometers of motor pacing as a junior with his dad, like just unthinkable stuff like that. Or, you know, Todd Wells is obviously, yeah, like he talks about how when Yaroslav Kolhavy, I'm sure I'm saying that name wrong, when he joined the team, like he just did an unfathomable amount of training volume, and overnight everybody's doing like extra rides after dinner, and like everyone just wanted to train so much more seeing what he was doing. I'm wondering, what's a story like that that you maybe heard, or someone you saw do something like that? Is there anything that stands out?
I mean, now with like Instagram and stuff, you see everyone posting, you know, their rides and like some power numbers and all that, and all kinds of exercise they're doing. I mean, you just don't really know, I guess. Like, you don't know the full story. You don't know if they took 4 days off and then went and did 300K. You know, like you don't get the full story, that's for sure. I think you just gotta focus on what you're doing and trust what you're doing is right, and just try not to get distracted with that stuff. Like, I mean, if you're drinking bubbly water and not eating meals, I can promise you, you're not gonna get faster.
Man, you're sounding way too sensible about this. Like, so there's not like, do you ever on Instagram? Did you ever see like just some ridiculous ride someone was doing and just like, well, that's unthinkable. I didn't think anyone would be doing that. Is there anyone that comes to mind?
That's every time I look at your Instagram.
I just try to have fun with it. But okay.
This boy's up Cyprus and it's minus 10 at my house and it's snowing. Like, I better get outside.
Okay. Well, how about we get into some stories? Is there any sort of like, when you're coming up in the sport, when everything was still fun, like before, when you're still just finding your feet, maybe you're working your way up to the national level, was there any kind of like story of like just youthful joy? Like just like what comes to mind for me is I ended up missing my prom for this one weekend of bike racing. And we went out and we ended up winning, or I won this one race. And then we got in the van, drove like 12 hours to go across the province from Quebec to Ontario. Woke up, then slept like 5 hours in this hotel, woke up, and then me and two of my best friends, we swept the podium in the next race. And it was like, I didn't regret missing prom at all. Like, there were just nothing little races. Like, they were just like provincial level races or national level races, but it was just like one of the most fun weekends I've ever had. Did you ever have any stories like that?
Well, with my prom, I mean, I was there, but there was the test of medal the same day. So I did that, and then, I mean, I was...
The same day as prom.
Yeah, same day as prom, and I was pretty young, so I was, like, absolutely just cracked after, and I had, like, 20, 30 minutes to shower and get down to prom, and, I mean, I was there, but I wasn't really there, if you know what I mean.
That's awesome. You would have been cheap on alcohol then after the test of medal. So for anyone who doesn't know, the test of medal is just, like, the most legendary Squamish mountain bike race ever. Everybody knows what the test of medal is around here. So you said you don't really have any overseas horror stories yet, but how about just like an epic war story of just, you know, I don't want to use the war analogy, but, you know, just some epic training or training day race, something where it just like defines cracked and in the box. Any stories like that?
Yeah. I did a stage race in Switzerland called the Swiss Epic. It was like seven day stage race. And we just finished up at Worlds, and I wasn't planning on doing the stage race. So I was out celebrating for a couple of days with, you know, my teammates and my friends. And then, my one teammate was, yeah, like, I'm doing the stage race. Like, my partner crashed at Worlds. Can you come in and ride with me? And I thought, like, yeah, sure. Like, I'll do it. Let's do it. I just spent the past 3 days at the end of my season not being super healthy, but yeah, I was game for it. And
just super carb loaded on ice cream and burritos.
Yeah, and 3 hours of sleep. But we drove there on the Monday, and then like started racing on the Tuesday, and I was in rough shape. I was really suffering. I mean, there's some stuff at altitude. I don't even remember much of that race, just being so much pain every day. And that was the tough moment for me, for sure, trying to finish that thing off.
Okay. So how was the weather? Was it all right?
It was good, thankfully. Yeah.
Just the altitude.
It was really good. Yeah, the altitude a bit. And you don't want to, it's a partner stage race, so you don't want to be the weak link. You want to keep holding your own, and you both want to do well because it's for UCI points. So, yeah, just battling.
Okay, cool. And then, is there ever a story of where you just said, like, I'm just going to make this work? Like, when did you have, like, a glimmer of hope and realize, like, you know, it could have been a race. It could have even just been, like, a test or something like that, or something like one of your idols or something, someone said to you growing up, it could have been, you know, someone like Jeff Kabush or Catherine Pendrell or someone like that coming up to you and being like, wow, like, you're really talented. Or so, was there ever a moment where you just had this glimmer where, like, wow, you know what, I could actually do this. Like, I could make this, like, this is a realistic dream to make it far in cycling.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's glimpse. I think the first big one for me was Junior Worlds in Czech Republic. I had a pretty bad crash off the start, and just kind of passed people the whole race and finished eighth. And I was like, whoa, like, you know, eighth at Worlds, I could probably do this. And and then I think the next year I did a pretty solid winter and had some good test results. And I think from there it was like, yeah, like, I definitely have a chance.
Because this sport is absolutely ruthless. And the fact, like, you lose way more often than you win. Like, people that don't know the sport will ask you, like, oh, when was the last time you won or something like that? And they don't understand that it's like, you maybe get, like,
yeah, you don't get a lot of wins
in a year. It's not like a, you know, your typical ball sport where it's two teams and, you know, one wins, one loses. It's 100 guys lose and one person wins,
mm-hmm,
or so. And so we tend to cling to these one little glimmers of hope. Maybe it's like one race that year where you get so close and you think, like, yeah, you know what, I'm right there. Or, you know, some training day where you just have, you're on fire, you're dancing, you're light on the pedals, everything's great.
Yeah, I mean, there's moments like that, but there's a lot more moments where, you know, you don't feel so good and you're not having a good training day. But you gotta, yeah, like you said, you gotta hold on to those glimpses, because yeah, it's a tough sport for sure. And if you're not thinking of the good times, it's gonna crush you.
Sure. And then, are there any other stories as far as, like, just a major setback that you had where you were just so hard headed, basically, like, I'm gonna make this work, and, you know, there's no plan B here. This is, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna make cycling work. And is there any kind of stories?
Yeah, I mean, I was in school. Still in school, but I was in school in Victoria.
High school or university?
University.
Okay.
And I got really sick, and I wasn't sure why, couldn't figure it out. I wasn't able to train, and I just thought, oh no, like, it's the start of the race season. It was in April. I, like, went to a couple races, but could barely ride my bike. I thought, oh no, like, what is this? And, you know, the whole season's kind of at stake. But yeah, I mean, just kind of worked with some doctors and figured it out. And yeah, I guess I don't know, rebounded from that pretty well, but that was a huge setback for sure.
So what was it like to balance training and school?
Oh man, it's it's tough. I only took 3 courses at school, so it wasn't full course loads by any means, but you're just busy. Yeah, you're just busy, and you know, you gotta set your priorities right. Like, you're just doing school, you don't have a whole lot of time to socialize, that's for sure. But yeah, if you can keep organized and yeah, just keep focused, you know, it's possible for sure. But it's definitely tough when, you know, you have those few extra things you need to do.
Sure. So would you go training before, after, on the trainer in your dorm room? Like, what were you doing there?
I'd mix it up. So like, some days I'd have class. I'd plan my schedule like way in advance and be like, I'd be up at 6 a.m. like ready to register, have my courses all planned out as soon as possible, just so I could plan my days. So yeah, like in the winter, I'd try and, you know, ride in the morning and like we go to school in the afternoon because it gets dark so early. And, yeah, just, you know, small things like that, giving you a little bit of advantage. So, you know, you're not riding in the dark or on the trainer too much.
For sure. And so what would you be thinking like when it's time when, so you, for sure, you probably went to school thinking, you know, okay, I'm in school here. This is serious. Like, this university is somewhat optional. Like, you're there by choice,
mm-hmm.
but you're trying to make the cycling dream work. And so you're trying to make both of them balance. And then whenever it would come time, like it's crunch time for, you know, you got to study for a test or something like that, but you got to get the training in. And then how would you balance, decide like, okay, which am I going to sacrifice here? Am I not going to study as much as I should for this test? Or am I just not going to get as much sleep this night? And then training's going to maybe suffer a little bit tomorrow. Or maybe I was always really hard headed and being like, oh no, I'll just do both. And I'll cut out sleep. And then, you know, I'll be fine. I'll just drink another cup of coffee and then training will be fine tomorrow. Like, how did you do it?
I think I kind of did it the same way as you. There's a few nights you don't get a lot of sleep. And maybe training does suffer the next day and maybe you don't do as well on the test, but I don't know. You gotta balance it, I guess. And like, I mean, school's important. You're paying to be there, choosing to be there, so you don't want to just not do it. And you know, yeah, I guess it's a tough balance, but yeah, you gotta plan. That's the biggest thing, just planning it out.
Sure.
Like, you know when your test is, like, you know, talk to your coach, change the schedule around, stuff like that.
Have you always had coaches?
Yeah, since I started.
When did you really start like cross country? Like, so, okay, when did you start biking? Let's let you answer that question.
I took my training wheels off when I was 2, but started cross country racing when I was a first year junior.
Okay, yeah. Cool. And before that, I was just building dirt jumps with the buddies?
Pretty much, bit of downhill racing, lots of BMX racing.
What's their bike park? Like downhill racing?
Oh, yeah.
Before junior?
Yeah, that's what I thought I was going to do. I thought I was going to be a downhill racer, but yeah, no, it hurts too much to crash.
What's the favorite trails in the Whistler Bike Park?
Favorite trails, Dirt Merchants, probably, I mean, I loved all the jump trails. Those were my favorites. So like Freight Train, I thought Crab Apple Hits was pretty sick when I hit those for the first time. I thought I was pretty hot stuff. Yeah, just kind of the flowy jump trails, I'd say.
Nice, yeah. My favorites would definitely be Dirt Merchant, Freight Train. I like Slayer. You know, the box labs on Slayer's is pretty cool.
The Canadian Open DH course is pretty sweet. That was a cool, like, one of my favorite downhill races.
Yeah. Feather in my cap for the bike park would be like I hit the Crab Apple Hits jumps back then, but now looking at it, there's no way I'd hit them now. Like, they're huge.
I don't think I'd hit them now. I was way more crazy when I was 12 than I am now, that's for sure.
Totally. Yeah. So outside your family, who's someone that's helped you? Or, you know, this is always really hard because we get so much help from so many different people coming up. So you can name a couple if you want, but who are the most influential people that have helped you outside your family, the obvious ones?
Yeah. There's a guy who lives here in Squamish named Mike Shrook. He runs Team Squamish. He was my first coach. And yeah, he was, you know, the first person that really showed me, you know, this is cross-country biking. This is what it takes. Here's what you have to do. I'd say, yeah, he was a big person to he like showed me the sport pretty much.
Okay.
I mean, there's so many people that helped me, like, you know, it's impossible to name them all.
Of course. But so he's the one that kind of got you in, started to, you know, water the seed, I guess, get you started
for
in
sure.
the sport. And then once you start getting up there and whatnot, you start looking for some more support, whether it's, you know, begging the local mechanic to fix your bike when it's totally destroyed and you don't have money to fix it, or you know, someone that invited you to their house to go, I don't know, training in California or something like that. Is there anyone else that stands out like that?
I mean, there's another local guy just down the hill who runs Fluid Function. His name's Sean Crookshanks. So they're like a SRAM RockShox sort of maintenance shop. And I was very fortunate. They just supported me. They like gave me lots of bike parts, serviced my stuff, you know. And just like for my second year junior, you know, if it wasn't for them, I probably wouldn't have a very good bike. So that was huge for sure. And then a couple of bike shops in town got me introduced to Norco bicycles, and then I kind of was on their grassroots program for a bit, which was huge. And yeah, it kind of just springboarded from there, I guess.
Okay, cool. Yeah. What's the best advice you ever got as far as like racing and whatnot? So it could be like the best advice from a coach you ever got.
Best advice from a coach. I mean, it's kind of corny, but I guess just like, you know, you believe that you belong there.
Sure.
Like, believe you're, this is what you're doing, and you should be there. And you know, you deserve to be there.
Okay, cool. How about the lowest moment in your career? Like, point, was there ever a point where, maybe you haven't even got to this point yet, but what's the lowest point that you've been at so far in your career? Could have been an injury, a setback, something. Maybe there was even a moment where you thought about giving it all up. Was there ever a moment like that?
Yeah, recently. I mean, I've been battling with an intestine infection for the past like 4 months now. And because of it, caused me to like almost miss my race at World Championships in St. Anne. It definitely did not help there, and I missed the last World Cup. And it kind of just dragged on and got worse. And I didn't think I was ever going to get better. I thought, you know, this is it. Like, you're done biking.
Sure.
Like, you might be living with this for the rest of your life. You know, you might never be back to normal. And, that was the lowest point for sure. I thought, it for sure crossed my mind about quitting. And, I didn't. Just kept pushing and just being stubborn. I mean, that's what gets you places.
Do you regret this happening to you?
Like, it sucked for sure. I think now that I've dealt with it, I'm healthy again. It's gonna make me a better person for sure, a bit stronger. But it was tough. It was freaking tough.
Sure. Okay. And I was talking before about like some of the ridiculous things you hear people do to try to get faster, like bike racers, bunch of real big dummies, like just always doing the most insane things to try to get quicker or to save money on airline fees, you know, whatever it is. But what's the most ridiculous thing you've ever done to get faster?
Ridiculous thing I've ever done to get faster.
Just something you heard like, oh, you know, I wonder, it would probably make me a better biker if I just rode around with a backpack full of rocks. All that, like just something.
Yeah, anything. Done stuff like that, like weight vests or something. I remember doing
on the bike.
Yeah, I just put like a weight vest on and ride around. Thought that would help. What else did I do?
Okay.
You drink lots of bubbly water. I think that's going to make you lean.
Did you do it?
Oh, yeah, I did a bit.
Oh, yeah, so you're a Salad Club member.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit, okay, yeah, it'll come. lots of lettuce.
Yeah, there's just a couple stupid things, but I'm trying to think of all of them. But
the weight vest, okay.
Yeah, that's probably a good one.
All right, and then, so I guess we'll end it with, what are, now try to name like 3 to 8 things, items, things you've owned, things you've learned, things you've heard, just recommendations to anybody, as far as it could be, you know, a book, a quote, a course, a better way to clean your bike, like just 3 to 8 specific pieces of advice. Like if I could come up with some, it would be like, you know, Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell is a great book. I think everyone should read. I think Olfa scissors are like the latest thing that I'm onto as far as like they're like the greatest scissors ever. You know, just like weird. What is some, you know, the AeroPress? That's a great one cyclists have. Like that's the way you make your coffee when you want. You know, what give us a couple items, things you found in like or traveling with a Leatherman. You know, what is it?
I think the biggest thing is, you know, especially with mountain bike, you know, you're breaking a lot of stuff when you're out training and out riding. And, you know, when you get to Europe, your local bike shop isn't nearby. So when you break your, you know, your specialty derailleur hanger or your whatever specialty part, you know, there's there's no one there. So just like being prepared for stuff like that. And that's a like that's a big thing for me. I always travel with all kinds of spare parts and all, I still do, even though I'm on a, you know, I'm on a factory team. I still bring a lot of that stuff just cause you know, you never know. And it's not easy to get in Europe. That's for sure.
Sure. What's the longest block you've spent in Europe?
Longest block would be like 3 or 4 weeks.
Okay. So yeah, really short blocks. That's nice. Do you bring anything to like, that feels like home?
Just some local beans, local coffee beans.
Galileo?
Yeah, Galileo.
Nice.
Stuff like that. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay, cool. Good stuff, man. Well, it was great talking to you. Is there anything else you want to add?
No, thanks for doing this.
Yeah, cool. Well, hopefully someone else enjoys listening to your stories.
Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Sean. He's a rad dude, and I was happy to get a chance to share some of those stories with him. Growing up in Squamish, one of the coolest places in the world, and certainly one of the coolest places in Canada if you're into the outdoor sports. If you're interested in any more content that I put out, you can always follow me at jackburkcycling.com or on Instagram, jackflash66. And the next episode will be with Jamie Sparling, an all-round mountain man. Jamie's retired professional road cyclist who is now living the more normal life, but living in Squamish, he has become an all-round mountain man and just has some incredible stories to share. So I hope you enjoy that episode coming up next.